sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up.
Get to the book of Tupac. There we go. Oh my God. Can sound man, you can hear me in the headphones? Yes? Okay. All right. Making sure. Because last time you fucked up. I don't care whose kids you are, but last time you fuck up this time and it's up your ass. Sorry, congregation. Like I was saying, yeah, get to your Bible and find a book of, hold on, the book of Tupac. God damn it, sticky pages. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, the book of Tupac. Quit clowning around, Pastor. And chapter, Tupacalypse Now. The first chapter. Versus Violent. When you got it, say amen. Amen. All right. It goes like this. As I was beating on the cop, I heard a gun click, then a gunshot, but I wasn't hit. I turned around. It was my homie with a gun in hand. He shot the cop. Damn. Now he's a dead man. I said, come on, it's time for us to get away. They called for backup, and they'll be on their way. Jumped in the car and tried to get away quick. Hold on, let me just adjust my glasses here. The car wouldn't start. Damn, we in deep shit. So we jumped out. We drove a little ways, thinking that we got far, but I looked up and all I saw was blue lights. If I die tonight, I've died in a gunfight. Message. I grabbed the AK and my homie took the 12 gauge, load him up quick. It's time for us to spray. We'll shoot them up with their own fucking weapons. And when we through spraying, then we step in. This is a lesson to the rednecks and crooked cops. You fuck with real niggas, get your fucking ass dropped. So here we go, the police against us, dark as dust, waiting for the guns to bust. What's next? I don't know and I don't care. One thing for sure, tomorrow I won't be here. But if I go, I'm taking all these punks with me. Pass me the clip. Pass me the clip, G. Now come get me. You want to sweat me? Never get me to be silent. Giving them a reason to claim that I'm violent. God damn. Damn. All right. Welcome. Bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ooh, hold on a sec. Before I start, sorry about that. Before I start, I want to remind you returning listeners and explain to you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on May 10th, 2023. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, 4 minutes in. Sorry, I'm timing these shit, this thing right now. Okay. Today's episode is, it's inspired, but it's one of those things where I want to say something, but I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. So I'm just going to force right through it. But the one thing that I do know I want to say, besides that beautiful intro and that, besides that beautiful intro is I want to share a quote that I got from, and it said Tupac, Talon Macy. He shared it on his timeline, and it's actually by William Blake. It goes, when I tell the truth, it's not for the sake of convincing those who do not know it, but it's for the sake of defending those that do. I think about how this one makes me think about white people's reaction when you call them racist. And they forget. When I do shit like that, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I know your feelings are hurt. You do all kinds of shit. You'll react or whatever. But that's not the part I care about. I'm participating in a shared reality, and saying that hey, it's beyond just saying you're being an asshole. It's like hey. You're acting like your ancestors. So, I don't know. Anyways, yeah. So I like that last line. It's for the sake of defending those that do. William Blake. All right. Okay. Like I said, not sure where I'm going with this episode. I do know that I have three items on my news and random thoughts. And the last part, final thoughts, is going to be like, well, this episode is going to be final thoughts heavy. All right. I'll explain myself. So let's just get to it. All right. So. Oh, right. You know what? When I was reciting that verse at the beginning and I went for a long pause, is because I was looking for this app right here so I could play this thing.
Message!
Right. Okay. That's a lot of details you don't need to know, but it doesn't matter. But, right. Let's just jump to news and random thoughts. Here we go. Woo! Sounds beautiful in my ear. Don't you agree? Okay, let's start with a little comedy, man. Shout out to Tyler. I'm going to play some Tyler Chronicles. What's Tyler Chronicles? Well, it's, what's that? He's a comedian. Tyler's a comedian. His actual name is, well, his stage name, you would know him as, Sentinel Hospital? Inglewood? That nigga's from Inglewood? I'll be damned. His name's not Tyler Creator. Oh, well, Tyler Chronicles. Okay, I guess he's known as Tyler Chronicles. Word? Let me just make sure about that. I thought it was another. Well, I'll be damned. Yeah, the last name is Chronicles. let it be known, man. When a black guy puts his name on his Instagram, assume that's his name. I thought it was. Okay. You know, I'm reacting like the guy who said, oh, so you want me to call you the a pip named Slickback. Not just a pip, not Slickback, a pip named Slickback. All right, Tyler Chronicles. All right. The confusion is because I was about to say I'm about to play some Tyler Chronicles, but you know what? Homie just did a top 10 list of worst dudes with a podcast, and I loved it. Shit made me laugh, and most important is he wasn't talking about me. It kind of gave me hope. It gave me hope. So here we go. Top 10 worst dudes with a podcast.
All right, here we go. Here's the top 10 worst dudes with a podcast. Number one, dudes with an earring that dangles. Number two, me. Number three, the ones that talk about how bad women are and obviously haven't been with one. Number four, dudes that say, let me ask you a question. Just ask. It's literally what a podcast is. Number five, fat dudes talking basketball.
Hey.
Number six, Nori. Number seven, misogynistic gay dudes. Number 8, pastors that start a podcast trying to get b****es. Number 9, dudes that scream when they are making no point. Number 10, any dude that doesn't call that bag around his chest a purse. It's a purse.
All right. Here. Hey, man, you know what, he said worst. I mean, he's probably worst. It's probably, he's not wrong. But the one about pastors trying to get bitches, I mean, word? Are pastors getting bitches on podcasts? Because if that's the case, I'm thinking theology and rechanging this podcast. Actually, I'm going to delete this podcast because all that ex-Christian shit's going to get me in trouble. And, I don't know. Hold on a second. First of all, how good is Christian bitches' pussies? Yeah. Hey, did I mention this podcast is all about growth? It's all about my growth, personal growth. You know what I mean? I'm one person today, and you know what? Sorry. This is me trying to make peace with the fact that I'm not trying to be popular. I'm not trying to be accepted. I'm just trying to be me on this podcast. And if I happen to create a fan base out of it, then power to me, I guess. Yeah. All right. And fan base of when? Yeah. Okay. So, what's the other thing? All right. Okay. shout out to Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips, who posted this on his Twitter account. And, he goes, yeah, I'm just going to play it, man. The title goes Widow. Oh, come on, B. Right. Sorry. I linked the Twitter page. Widow who wrote grief book after husband died, charged with his murder. All right. I'm going to play this. And if this story is not interesting, I'm going to let my AI robot read this shit. And, if it's not interesting, then I will, cut it. So take it away. What's her name? What's this? This is better. All right. My AI robot. Take it away.
Widow who wrote grief book after husband died, charged with his murder. A Utah widow who penned a grief book for children in the wake of her husband's death has been charged with his murder, authorities said.
A grief book for children? What the fuck? Oh, shit. I missed that part. Okay, hold on. Keep going.
A Utah widow who penned a grief book, mom of three Curry Darden Richens, 33, of Summit County, was arrested Monday for allegedly poisoning her husband, Eric Richens, at their home on Willow Court in Commas on March 4, 2022, KUTV reported. She is charged with first-degree aggravated murder and three counts of second-degree possession of a controlled substance with intent to distribute, officials said. Police arrived at their home about 3:20 a.m. on the night of Eric's death to find him lying at the foot of the bed. Life-saving measures were attempted, but Eric was declared deceased, according to documents cited by KSL-TV. Curry allegedly told police she had made her husband a mixed vodka drink, a Moscow Mule, and served it to him in bed to celebrate his sale of a home for her business.
Okay, Moscow Mules aren't bad, guys, by the way. If you've never had a Moscow Mule, yeah, worth tasting it. But make sure it's not a crazy chick serving it to you. Here we go.
Curry allegedly told investigators she then fell asleep with one of their kids who was having a nightmare.
Right.
Curry said she awoke around 3 a.m. and came back to her and Eric's bedroom. She felt Eric, and he was cold to the touch.
Okay.
That is when the defendant called 911, the documents state. She told police she left her cell phone in the couple's bedroom, but phone records show that the device had been used multiple times in the child's bedroom. In addition, tolls on the defendant's phone show that messages were sent and received during that time. These messages were deleted, according to court documents, KSL-TV reported. An autopsy found that Eric died of an oral overdose of fentanyl with a level in his system that was five times the lethal dosage, according to the medical examiner.
Damn.
According to the court documents, police obtained a search warrant for Curry's phone and computers and found multiple communications between her and an unnamed acquaintance. Curry Richens, 33, a mom of... On May 2nd, investigators reportedly interviewed the acquaintance, who faced multiple counts of possession of a controlled substance with intent to distribute and other drug-related charges. Mm. Curry allegedly requested prescription pain medication for an investor between December 2021 and February 2022, investigators were told, according to the documents.
Okay, I won't lie, gang. The more I read, the sadder this shit feels. I mean, we haven't gotten to the sad part, but the more... I'm going to keep going.
Curry allegedly requested... She told the acquaintance to leave the pills at a house defendant was flipping in Midway, Utah. The acquaintance left the pills at the house, and the defendant left cash for them, the documents state, according to KSL-TV. The couple seemingly had issues long before Eric's death. One of his two sisters told investigators that he called her from a vacation in Greece with his wife years earlier, claiming that she made him a drink that made him violently ill, according to records viewed by National Public Radio affiliate KPCW.
Wow.
She wrote, "Are you with me?" to help kids cope with the death of a loved one and appeared on a local TV station to promote it, Amazon. The sister...
Sorry, that last part you just heard is a caption to one of her books, Are You With Me? Okay, so now we're back to the article. The sister alleged
that Eric believed Curry had tried to kill him at the time.
Wow.
Eric had held a joint life insurance policy with his business partner Cody Wright that his wife had unsuccessfully tried to change in January 2022, the outlet reported. Curry allegedly attempted to make herself the sole beneficiary of the policy, but the insurance company notified the men of the change and they were able to fix it. Eric then removed Curry from his will and replaced her with his sister.
Huh.
He did not inform Curry of the change because, according to his sisters, he believed she might kill him for the money, which he wanted to go to his children, the outlet reported. Curry has been charged with first degree on February 4th.
Okay, there's a picture of this couple together, and I swear, it's one of those Hallmark pictures. It's one of those pictures that you look at and you start thinking, and if you're single, you're thinking to yourself, damn, I need to get something like they have. But here we go.
On February 14th, 2022, the couple had a Valentine's Day dinner in which Eric became very ill,
wow.
A probable cause statement cited by KUTV states. Eric broke out in hives, couldn't breathe, and passed out after using his son's EpiPen and taking Benadryl. Eric believed that he had been poisoned. Eric told a friend that he thought his wife was trying to poison him, it says.
Imagine that.
The acquaintance told investigators that Curry later said her purported investor wanted something stronger and asked for some of the Michael Jackson stuff, specifically fentanyl, the news outlet reported, citing the documents. Curry dedicated on February 26, 2022, the acquaintance got 15 to 30 fentanyl pills from a dealer in Ogden, Utah, and sold them to Curry at her home for $900, officials said.
Wow.
A little over a week later, Eric was found dead. The day after his death, Curry ended up closing on a $2 million home that she wanted to flip and threw a large party at her home where she was drinking and celebrating, according to court records. The couple had disagreed about the home because Eric thought it was too expensive.
All right, how much of this shit is there left? Okay, we're nearly done, gang. Hang in there. I'll tell you what, we'll finish and then I'll comment.
According to the warrant, Curry went on to assault one of Eric's sisters who had shown up at the home during the party. Curry later wrote the picture book Are You With Me? To help kids cope with the death of a loved one and appeared on a local TV station to promote it. The book was published March 5th, almost a year to the day after Eric's death. Eric became very ill on Valentine's...
Whoops, sorry, keep going.
Eric became very ill. According to the book description on Amazon, it was written to create peace and comfort for children who have lost a loved one. It's to reassure children that although your loved one is not present, their presence always exists and they walk through life with you as if they were here.
Imagine that.
In the book, Curry wrote, "Dedicated to my amazing husband and a wonderful father."
Damn.
According to an obituary, the couple had been married for 9 years and had 3 children. What do you think?
Oops, sorry.
According to warrants viewed by KPCW, Eric was planning to file for divorce but died before any proceedings began.
Wow.
Eric did absolutely everything in his power to provide his family with every possible opportunity to learn, grow, and have fun, the obituary reads. The Post has reached out to Curry's attorney, Sky Lazaro, for comment.
All right, you know what? Okay, I won't lie. The whole time I was listening to the article, I was thinking of anyone listening to this podcast. Highly sensitive type, and I feel like I've misled you. But then again, the title of this episode is Dying in a Gunfight. So you should have known I'd be a little fucked up. Two, Rod shares stories like that, but he's a funny guy. It's meant to be humor. It's like it's an unfortunate situation, but he's the kind of guy who could the jokes make you forget how fucked up the situation is. B, yeah, I guess I can't help but think about I understand those of you who are looking at this and as a sheer tragedy, like, can't laugh at this shit. That's what I'm telling you. I understand the people who can laugh, and I understand both who can't laugh at this shit, because I see what you're saying, what you're thinking. And lastly, what the fuck was I thinking sharing an article from New York Post? The fuck was I? That's my fault. That's what I get. Karma, man. That's what I get. It said New York Post. Only, that's like the Ottawa Sun. Actually, it's worse than the Ottawa Sun. Actually, as bad as the Ottawa. I don't know. We'll take a vote on that one. So I apologize. Yeah, that's the last commentary. That shit wasn't funny, man. Shit wasn't funny. All right, last. Let's see if I can have something a little more monter le moral. Pour monter le moral. C'est bon, bon. Okay, that's not the song, but c'est bon pour le moral. C'est bon pour le moral. All right, what about this? Nope. The system isn't broken. It's fixed. What this? Nope. Not this. Not that. Not this. What's this one? It's only a matter of time before is one of my tweets. Yeah, I just said it's only a matter of time before my dishwasher is up there washing dishes for Jesus. Stupid thing ain't cleaning dishes like it used to. Man, no one liked it. All right. Oh, okay. Fuck you, Elon Musk. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I was, you know what? I ain't got. Oh, you know what? What probably would raise your morals? Monter le moral. C'est bon pour le moral. Yeah. What's her name? She's Janelle Monáe. She's trending for a reason. Her titties. Her titties. If you're someone who's into titties, you want to go on Twitter and do a search for Janelle Monáe. You know what? If you just Google Janelle Monáe, I'm sure the first thing you'll get, fuck it, I will do some research on your behalf and do it. I mean, I've seen them titties before, but I just want to confirm that if you do a search for, yep, Janelle Monáe frees the nipples in a wet t-shirt while teasing you music. Okay, so she's coming out. Okay, link will be in the show notes. That's my apologies for sharing that first article. But don't get, you know, I wonder if that lady who poisoned her husband had nice titties. Don't fall for it, fellas. I mean, fellas or women who are into women with nice titties. All right, okay. Last but not least. Oh, right. I meant to find, fuck it. I'm going to do a bad Chris Rock impression. But last but not least is, I was minding my own business, clicked on Netflix by mistake. And not that it's a bad thing, I just clicked on it because I was trying to get to one tab. I was on Netflix, and I see they have a new special out. I think it's a documentary about Cleopatra. And Cleopatra's black. They made her black. And I knew it was coming, right? I guess I just needed to see it for myself. So they have a documentary coming up, and Cleopatra's black in there. Now, I never thought I'd live long enough to see a black Cleopatra on the big screen. Now, a lot of you motherfuckers are probably, you know, on this theory about Cleopatra wasn't black. Well, one thing I know is that Egypt is in Africa, and there's a lot of black folks in motherfucking Africa. Two, if there are Egyptians who are like, yeah, man, nah, fuck that, make Cleopatra white. Well, they're like some of the people in Dominican Republic. Yeah, that's kind of oddly specific. They're like black folks who wish they could be white. That, you know, I'm just saying, white supremacy is a motherfucker. And yeah, so one, Cleopatra, the black Cleopatra, and the black mermaid. What's her name again? It's kind of warm in here, man. Oh, because it was like plus 25 today. Black mermaid. I am not going to get any sleep tonight. Black mermaid. Disney black mermaid is no breakthrough. Get my new. Sorry, I'm trying to remember the name of the black mermaid because they don't call her black mermaid, do they? Who is the little mermaid? What's the name of the fucking show? What's the mermaid? Disney black mermaid. Okay, mermaid has become a cultural phenomenon and a mermaid. Oh, it's called the Little Mermaid, I guess. Oh, it is called the Little Mermaid. All right, so there's a Little Mermaid movie coming out. It's, I guess it used to be a cartoon. And, well, fuck, I guess by now you all know, right? So they casted a black actress for it. And white folks lost their goddamn mind. Now, that's not the point I want to bring up. I saw a trailer for that movie. And holy fuck. Wait, is her love interest white? What the fuck? Okay, now I'm going to write. Oh my God, her love interest is white. That's some bullshit. You better not call her the N-word. Okay, come. That's not the point. The point to all this is I saw the trailer for it, and the fucking graphics are amazing. Like, I now understand why white people are first black Cleopatra. Now this, all this dope-ass graphic being used on a black girl, I know why they're pissed. Man, like, we're losing everything. And that's my Chris Rock impression. We're losing everything. Hold on, let me see if I can find a clip of him saying it. We're losing everything. This is my Chris Rock impression of him doing an impression of white people, of a white dude, saying, we're losing everything. Nope. Fuck, it's hot in here. Woo, summer's coming. Summer's going to be brutal this year. I'm talking Chris Rock. We're losing everything. Is it in there? Is it in there? No? Okay. Nope. Okay. Hold on, what this was?
I took that hit like Pacquiao.
Yeah, not that part. Okay. Oh, losing the country. This is the one.
Like racism everywhere. Who's the maddest people? White people.
White people.
Not y'all. Y'all all right. Pay money to see me. We cool. The feud is over. Now, you watch the TV. You watch like 60 Minutes and shit. You see white people pissed off.
Pissed
man.
Off.
Mad. The white man thinks he's losing the country.
Lose the country.
You watch the news like, we're losing everything. We're fucking losing. Affirmative action and illegal aliens. And we're fucking losing the country. Losing? Shut the fuck up. White people ain't losing shit. If y'all losing, who's winning? It ain't us.
It ain't us. We getting crumbs. We getting crumbs. All right, okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to conclude today's news random thoughts and jump to the final thoughts. This is actually a good segue, so here we go. Woo! All right. Today's final thoughts, we're finally getting back to, not finally, but I'm getting back to the initial, but final thoughts initially when I first started this podcast or around that time, I used to call it This Week in Therapy. And it was the intention is to share deep thoughts or something or a thought that I had during or after therapy. And this is related to it, right? Now, before I do that, I'm going to play two things because I'm trying to build some context, right? Okay, right. Share some quick thought. Well, I don't know if it's going to be a quick thought, but I'm going to try to, like, shit this thought out, push it out, and then end with what the fuck was I thinking with the title? What's up with the title of today's intro verse? All right? Okay, so here we go. Okay, I want to play a scene from The Black Klansman. Try to create a little context here, all right? Yeah, here we go.
You're going to take this lie detector test.
Okay, not that part. I'm going to fast forward. This is a little too... Okay. So this is the clip where... It's called the lie detector test. Where, because I suck with people's name, it's when... the fuck's his name? The dude who was in Girls. Anyways, the undercover cop impersonating a Klansman, the undercover cop trying to break, you know, infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan, is talking to a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and the character, this character, the Klan character, doesn't trust, has suspicion that something's up with this character. He's not smart enough to believe he's an undercover cop, but he can feel that there's something wrong with this guy. So, and he's trying to get him to put on a lie detector test, right? And that's what you're seeing. That's what you're engaging. Again, links in the show notes. I guess it would help if you saw the movie, but it's more the discussion that happens that I want you to remember. So I'm going to fast forward to the actual discussion instead of the debate between where the lie detector test is. No, I'm not going to do it. Yes, I will. I'm going to fast forward all that shit. Here we go.
They'll say I'm a real friendly guy. Thing is, I'm only friendly to my friends. Mm. Not Jew friendly. Mm. Damn sure not nigger friendly.
Me neither.
Know what I think?
You think?
Oh yeah, I think.
What do you think about?
This Holocaust stuff never happened. That's the biggest Jewish conspiracy ever. 8 million Jews killed, concentration camps, never happened. Where's the proof?
Are you high?
I don't get high. I drink.
Because I'd say the Holocaust is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. It just makes sense to me. You have a whole race of leeches that you have to get rid of. So what do? You starve them, you burn them, you get rid of them. It's like weeding out roots for the better people. Haven't you seen the footage?
That's fake. Jews run Hollywood.
Fucking hell.
Let me see your dick.
You gonna shoot me? Put that gun away.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I guess I should have mentioned that the Klan guy suspects the character who's the cop who's infiltrated, who's trying to infiltrate the Klan. He suspects that he's Jewish. And that's not the point. The point that I want to get at is I thought that exchange was really powerful because it shows old anti-Semitism versus new anti-Semitism. Again, this is my theory. I haven't read a book on this shit. This is just a quick observation on this thing. And holla if you hear me, kind of thing, kind of situation. This is. So the Klansman starts with the Holocaust never happened shit, right? I remember the first time I understood what it meant to be a Holocaust denier. Like why some people were Holocaust deniers. At the time, before I figured it out, at the time, I was innocent. I sincerely believe that the people who denied the Holocaust just didn't understand, didn't have the information, basically were just not made aware of the fact. They were just ignorant of the fact that 6 million people, 6 million Jews, like they need to count the death certificate. They need to like 1, 2, they needed to see all 6 million death certificate counting, be like, okay, if they could get to that, it'd be like, oh, okay. Like basically I was like, just show them the proof. Just show them the proof and we'll go away. And then I realized, I'm not sure how I finally put two and two together, what destroyed that innocence, but it hit me that, oh shit, these motherfuckers are being cruel. Like I didn't think it was possible for a human being to be that cruel towards another human being's grief. Like I've been to funerals before, right? To a funeral, and the idea of someone busting in and going, hey, stop crying, it's bullshit. The guy's not dead. He's in the casket. No, he's not dead. Like, just to gaslight, like, gaslighting people to say, he's not dead. Stop fucking crying. You guys are full of shit, man. The pastor's bullshit. The family's lying to us, man. Look, he's crying. It's bullshit. Those tears are like, I guess maybe I can't. I came from a world where someone grieves, you grieve with them. That's it. If you want to laugh, to fight the grief. It better be grief-based or whatever. But you did not do shit like stop the other person from grief. Basically, I did. It's like it's nothing sacred in this world. All right. So what I'm getting at is new anti-Semitism is a different kind of cruelty. So all anti-Semitism actually did the dirt. They killed, they rounded, you know, you read the stories. They rounded up the Jews, put them in concentration camp, you know. They fucking starved them, stole their shit, humiliation. Like, cruelty, you know, inhumane behavior. Like, those guys, old anti-Semitism, like, okay, when I say old, I mean phases, different kind of evolution Semitism, anti-Semitism 2.0 versus 1.0. That's what I'm trying to say. They actually killed people. Fuck it. They didn't bother with psychological game. So first, but both were, had no regards for the fact. Both anti-Semitism have no regards for the fact that they're both cruel and they both have no regards for the humanity of Jewish people. That's what I'm trying to say. And I bring up this case because it makes me think of same thing applies to racism. Now, racism, everyone assumes when you say the word racist, they're looking at a cross burner. They're looking at a Klan member, lynching, slavery. If you know, assume you could get that far. There's segregation. Black people can't get on the bus. You can't play with us, nigger. You know what I mean? That's what mainstream white people see. But racists have fucking evolved from that shit because, fuck, we got to tone down that white supremacy shit. It's like we can only do a level of racism that's acceptable by other white people, that's undetectable by other white people. So new level of racism is denying racism. It's plain ignorance to racism. It's, I didn't know I couldn't say nigger, you know what I mean? I didn't know nigger was a bad word. I just, six letters to me. What the fuck? It's ignorance. It's fucking weird. It goes after your, it's psychological, man. It's like, you know, the shit will drive you crazy if you fucking let it. It's gaslighting. Yeah, man. Anyway, I just love that scene because that Jewish undercover cop nearly blew his cover. If the other dude was smart enough, he'd be like, whoa, this motherfucker's gully. Like, I'm not trying to say, look, there are not white people out there who are like cross-burning, lynching, and doing all that shit. Yeah, a lot of them are cops. I'm just saying they're smart enough to know, okay, yo, if I'm going to kill these niggas, I got to become a cop. Okay, where I'm going with this is I was a victim of new racism, and it's fucking with me. And the thing is, the shit just drove me a rage that I can't explain. It's a rage that I'm working through with my therapist. It's that fucked up. It's a rage that, yo, I want to burn the world down. I want vengeance. And the thing that what's worst about it is the perpetrator of those acts is flying under the radar. Like, it's convincing everyone that, I'm one of the good white people. No. I care for niggas. You know, that's the part that's so infuriating, is because it's like a deadly, I feel like it's like being in a crowded area and injected with a syringe that has AIDS on it. And you can't see the culprit disappear. Like, you can't, hey, did you see that person? Like, people are seeing you suffer, but they can't see the cause of the suffering. Some people are like, yo, I think he's just making it up. I think he's bullshitting. Anyways, new racism pissed me off. This is where I'm going with this. Pissed me off to the point where now I want to play a clip by from The Soprano because, oh, shit, I didn't cue. Am I gonna read this to you? I'm not gonna read this to you. Oh man. Okay, this is what I'm gonna do. Okay, how am I gonna? I'm not gonna find this clip. Okay, I'm gonna read it out. Okay, all right. So it's from the Employee of the Month episode of The Soprano. You see, okay, hold on. Fuck that. Let me see if I can find it, man. Because there's no way I'm going to read it out loud. Employee of the Month, Soprano. Yeah, I was going to reread the clip, but no, it's going to. Oh, is this it? Is this it? Is it, or just a trailer?
What is up, Sopranos fans?
Nope, okay. All right, gang. Okay, give me a second. I'm going to find this shit. Woo, for sure. See, I am not sleeping tonight. I am. Okay. Please tell me I'm logged in. If I'm not logged in, then. Fuck. I thought I had a YouTube clip for it. And I don't. Okay. Where is it? There we go. Got yourself a gun. Got yourself a gun. Now, the next challenge is finding the fucking clip. Okay, that was Employee of the Month is season 3, I believe, right? Am I 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 right? Nope. Fuck, season 4? Oh, no, season 3. Hey, my memory works. Okay, here we go. I have the VHS tape version. Okay. Okay. You don't want to hear this? Okay, let me. If I find it on the spot, I'm gonna be so impressed with myself. Damn. Oh, is this it? Hold on.
And then I reject him for being exactly that.
Nope, that's not it. Damn. Oh man. I guess what I like about. Oh, this is it?
I asked you to write down any feelings of anxiety or memories of past anxiety attacks.
Yeah, my parents in the pork store. I know. Yeah, that was.
I'm gonna think so.
It was good.
Did you bring your log?
My log?
Remember last week?
Fuck.
Richard, what
oh, man. Man. Okay. If you're a Soprano fan, you're enjoying this. If you're. Well, I know you probably won't.
He, I know why I'm here, and I apologize.
What?
Well, okay, I'm not going to find it. All right, looks like I'm going to have to play this.
I know a woman with one leg. Terrible thing.
Last time we met, we talked about getting you into some behavioral therapy. I brought a couple of things for you to look at.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. Gotta be fucking kidding me.
The title leaves something to be desired.
Okay. It's just your,
Okay, I think this is it.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, this is it. Okay.
Startled me, that's all.
Maybe you came back to work too soon.
It's better for me to be busy.
Right.
Yeah, this is it. Okay. Tony's pissed now. Okay, because essentially he's at the scene where Dr. Malfi's all banged up. He doesn't know that she was a victim of sexual assault. And he doesn't know that, right? So all he knows is that, she told him that he was in a car accident. And right now, Tony's about to react to the fact that, to the asshole who hit her. And I love, fuck, you know, this guy definitely got to be one of the best Sopranos episode, man. I mean, in terms of deepness, in terms of, here we go.
And I appreciate your concern.
Tony's about to say something that I can connect with. This is where I'm going with this.
See, that's what's wrong with the world, right there.
Right there.
An innocent person is driving along, minding their own business, and some fucking asshole comes out and smashes into them. Mm.
You can't control everything that happens.
But you can't get pissed off.
And then what? Lose control?
Who said anything about that? You direct your anger where it belongs.
You have panic attacks. Panic occurs when feelings of anger, revenge, whatever, overwhelm you. That's where behavioral therapy comes in. It can teach you to control those triggers.
And how do you get people to do what you want?
There we go. Fuck, I love that. Hold on a second. Nah, that's not true. Okay, no, hold on. This was working. Nah, this marking. Bravo. Fucking R.I.P. James Goldolfini. And you know what I'm going to do? This scene is so dope. I'm going to look up the name of that white lady. The name of the lady who plays Dr. Melfi. Great actress, great performance. It's a good thing you're patient, because I know you're probably, where the fuck am I going with this? Jennifer Melfi, played by Lorraine Bracco. Okay, right. Okay. I remember looking at that scene and thinking, where I'm going with this is, I was in a similar situation with my therapist. This is where I'm going with all this, right? From triggered to hidden racism to this shit, right? I was in a similar situation with my therapist. It's to the point, this is probably the first time that I find myself, okay, I want to be clear, because you will have these moments with your therapist, and these are like the good ones. When you find yourself questioning, I don't think you know what you're talking about. That's usually the good, but I know she knows what she's doing. That's my point. I'm saying this in the framework that I know she knows what she's doing. This is one of those points that it's going to take me a while to understand. With that said, going through that session, I'm like, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think you understand what I'm saying. It's like maybe a male therapist would understand my need for revenge. And what's wrong with what I'm saying is because I'm acting like a woman can't understand the need for revenge, when the reality is there's a lot of victims of sexual assault who are in a situation where they have to pile around. They have to, like, chill with their abusers. Either they're not accused or they've been accused and they got played. Like, what's that asshole's name? Kavanaugh motherfucker, that dude, right? He gets to walk around smiling, being the judge, being a top, while the woman he sexually assaulted has to live with that shit. Like, no, I get it. I'm in such a rage that I can't think straight. I mean, I've calmed down. Don't get me wrong. I've done a lot. the fact I'm able to articulate this rage now is sign that I'm doing better. To you, I might sound crazy, but I'm actually doing a lot better than I was, because I was talking way reckless. I was beyond talking about dying in a gunfight type of shit like that. But I'll get to that title of the show. Yeah, way reckless. I was just boiled in rage that I couldn't think straight. And I wrote down a few notes here. I'm thinking about how, I think I'm just going to make this one point, because this is why I'm going to complicate it. I was thinking about how when I was in that session, I wasn't trying to hear that forgive yourself. Anything involving the word forgiveness. I wasn't trying to hear that saying about holding a grudge. What's that saying? Holding a grudge is like holding on to poison and expecting the other person to die. I wasn't trying to hear any of that shit. But at some point in that session, she said something, or I'm not sure, or either she said something or triggered something that finally got me to realize that she is right. I have an obsession. Like, a lot of where this rage comes from, a lot of it's this anger, it comes from this. It comes from an obsession, a desire to see the other person suffer. And the worst part is, how do I say this? I don't have the means to do that. Like, this ain't high school again, like the good old days. All the homies I could have called to say, yo, we fucking up a white dude today. All of them got kids, they got jobs, we're on parole, got deported. Basically, it's me, myself, and I in this shit. I can't call up the homies. And I'm in a situation where I'm like, okay, if I can't handle this using violence, how do people who are not violent handle this situation? And I think this is what she's getting at. It's processing the situation without violence. And it doesn't necessarily mean getting even, revenge. No, not even past that. It's basically closure for yourself. It's being able to get to the point where you can let go of that poison. I'm seeing that. I'm not saying I'm there yet, but I'm starting to make sense of what she's saying. Look, she gave me this exercise. It's called Describe Your Grievance. And I was tempted of doing it before the podcast, but I'm like, nah, I kind of like this rage. I kind of fucking like this anger. It's powering me. This shit is like, I'm using it to keep the lights on in this fucking house, man. It's powering cities. It's keeping water, but keeping my water warm. It's keeping, you know, I'm just saying, it's allowing me to record this podcast because I know myself. Once that rage is gone, then I turn into passive mode. I guess that's my problem, man. I only got two levels. It's either on or off. And here's the thing. She told me this. She's not saying turn it off. But she is saying don't let that fire consume you. I get that. It's funny how I'm rationalizing this shit. But I could pop off at any second. I'm just at the point where I'm slowly, very slowly making sense of what she's trying to say. And another thing that I guess that last therapy, she credit to her, like, this props going on, right? She got me to realize is another problem that I have. So I have I got the obsession. Two, struggling to come to terms with the fact that I am not that guy. I am not a Tony Soprano. I am not a Avon Barksdale, Omar Little, Scarface. I am not like any of my favorite rappers who brags about dying in a gunfight. Or no, I'm the guy who I'm the guy. Look, in the last episode, I thought it was a coincidence that I shared that clip, but maybe it's not a coincidence. But on the last episode, I told you a story. I shared. I talked about a video that I watched of a bunch of villagers, right, attacking a bear. A bear that had just ate a 3-month-old baby and killed his mother. The beginning of the video, I was on the side of the village. Like, man, fuck that bear up. Get him. They were all hitting him. Like they first, you know, kind of looked like they were going to lose, right? But they finally overwhelmed the bear and beat the shit out of that bear. But as that bear was getting his ass kicked, he started to move like he was a child. Like he's, what? Why am I beat? Where's all these hits coming? What's going on? Yo, it got to a fucking point that I felt sorry for the bear. And I got mad at myself for feeling sorry for the bear. I'm like, dude, you just started out saying fuck that bear. And now you're like feeling, fuck that. I was feeling sorry. The bear was just that. Look, I still feel bad for what he did, but the stupid animal didn't know what it was doing. So it's two things. One, I'm agreeing. I see that obsession that she's talking about. I'm just not ready to pass judgment on whether it's a good or a bad judgment. Whether it's a good or a bad thing, that obsession to see the other person suffer more than I did. Two, I'm still struggling to come to terms with who I am and I'll get into it in what time is it? Okay, come on, I'm getting close to the end. All right, I'll get into it in as I explain what's up with the title. Yo, so last point that I have is we still a lot of time. All right, last point before I get to what's up with the title is I had a moment where I realized I'm done going to work and acting like I'm the Jackie Robinson for these white folks. Like, I think when I first started it out, I had this mindset that I had tolerating racism was part of the job. Was part of it. You know, you just look, you're working with white folks who've lived from buttfuck nowhere. The majority don't know, you know, who come from, but don't know shit about black people. And of course, a few of them will say something stupid. Problem is, amongst those who say something stupid, their intention is not being ignorant. It's not ignorance. It's actually cruelty. It's like a different level of racism that they're attacking you with. And I got bit by one of those motherfuckers. But okay, I only bring this up. I'm trying to be in the Jackie Robinson because a lot of where this, what's fueling this thought is I just finished watching, what's it called? The Senate's human, this is a Canadian thing. By the way, when it comes to Canada, and I have an allergy to Canadian politics. As soon as Canadian politics pops up, I pass out. I don't know what it is. Well, part of it is because fucking neighbors from the South, their politics is like Kool-Aid with a lot of liquor in that shit. And then Ottawa's politics is like water with lemon. Not even water without even fucking lemon. Not even cold water. It's like boring ass water. Whatever. Okay. But with that said, I got myself to watch the Senate's Human Rights Committee study into anti-black racism at Canadian Human Rights Commission. Okay, that and a representative plaintiff, Bernadette Betchy, appears before the Senate committee. For you non-Canadians or people who don't read the news, long story short, we have a human rights commission in Canada, and news came out that the motherfuckers who are in charge of that office are fucking racist. So you can send all your complaints about, you know, human rights violation, but them motherfuckers looked at it and they're like, what racism? You niggers are always complaining about something. Rip, 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 rip. So they were bullshit, man. And it just reminded me of, fuck, it just reminded me of, we on our own in this country when it comes to this fight against racism. Yeah, that's what's fueling a lot of this shit. I'm not coming to work to be anyone's Jackie Robinson anymore. Fuck it, man. I'm dying in a gunfight. All right, finally, we're getting to the end. What's up with the title and the intro verse? Well, if you didn't know, that was from Tupac's track, Violent. Tupac from his first album, Tupacalypse Now. Now, I gotta say that, okay, what made me pick it, or what made me choose it in the first place, it was that or a verse from Tupac's Strictly For My Niggas track. He goes, I'm not violent, I'm petrified and nervous. Is when I was speaking with my therapist this week, and thank God she's black. I'm grateful that she's a black woman who understands me as a black man, because when I was speaking to her, I caught myself realizing, noticing how when I was expressing anger, there was no way for me to articulate anger without making some kind of reference to violence. Like, I want to stab this. I want to hurt this person. I want to, blah, 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 I want to. Like, I couldn't just say that person hurt me. I felt discomfort. No. It was everything I wanted to do in response to that anger, and it didn't involve putting that motherfucker on timeout. Everything was just, like, I just saw that. It made me think of when I was a teenager, this, I forget his name, Hotep ass nigga, but it is, I'm about to give him a compliment. It's like an elder, right? Actually, no, there's been more than once. More than once this happened, right? These Hotep ass niggas who like to read a lot of books and show off their vocabulary. And he was criticizing me for what he called my lack of vocabulary. Basically, he was criticizing me for cursing all the time, for using curse words. And he kept saying, you have a lack of vocabulary. I mean, I'm still fuck you, nigga, for that shit. But he is right. When it comes to articulating rage, anger, my vocabulary is limited to properly. Like, I had an ex, fascinating human being. An ex, no, she's an ex for a reason, but we got into an argument, right? And this lady caught me off guard. One, she didn't raise her voice on me. She didn't raise her voice, and she didn't allow voice to be raised. That's one. So that, I'm like, wait, how the fuck are we supposed to argue if I can't raise my voice? How are you supposed to know that I'm angry? Two, holy shit. She used words like a laser beam, like, like it was just soft words, enough words for me to be like, ooh, wow, oh, there goes, oh shit, my dick just shriveled up. Oh my God, like made me feel small. Basically, she knew how to use vocabulary effectively and efficiently. I'm like, I envy her ability to communicate. I don't have that. That's what I'm saying. Me, rage, I'm raising voices, and I'm figuring out what bothers you. Oh, you just got a divorce? I'm gonna talk about that divorce. She cheated on you with a black guy. I'm bringing that shit up. Sorry for yelling. Lost a kid. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm in full rage, lost control rage, it's like anything goes. Like my temper, that's in my family. That's our problem. When we're angry at each other, we can be you look at us on the surface, we're the sweetest people. You think we were the sweetest people on earth. But when the rage is high, like usually we only reserve that rage for each other. We could be mean. We could say some of the meanest shit to each other. Like to the point that I always feel guilty after, like I feel like after turning to Hulk and becoming Bruce Banner, I'm like, oh shit, fuck, what did I break? Anyway, yeah, I started to realize how my vocabulary was limited when it came to rage, and then it hit me on how, out of the many things, reasons why I fell in love with Tupac, the first time I heard that track, Trapped by Him, or his first album. When I fell in love with Tupac is because, besides his dope-ass track, in Emotion, I felt like him and I understood each other when it came. Like, he was my spokesperson when it comes to, like, if I'm, I used to have this notion, a friend of my close friend used to say that, yeah, if I'm listening to Tupac, usually it's because I'm kind of angry. Like, there's certain specific Tupac track, the angry ones, that I would use to be like, and then I would say stupid shit that are not true, like, I'm dying in a gunfight. Khabib, come on, who are you kidding? Look, I know for a fact, okay, where I'm going with this is articulating what I like about my therapist is, I was using a lot, I love the fact that she knew that, yeah, he's just talk. It's all talk. A white person, a white therapist would have been like, hey, police officer? Yeah, this black guy is plotting. He's about to commit homicide or assault someone. He's dangerous. He's scaring me. Bring backup. They would have been like, and look, I want to be clear that I'm not making excuses. I know that I need to check my vocabulary. I know in court that shit won't fly. You know, nope, sorry, you threatened me. I understand that. Like, you know, the mature thing to do. I'm just saying that I recognize that my vocabulary is limited when it comes to articulating rage. And which is why I used to have this joke about how, about the O train. I won't do the whole setup, but it doesn't matter. But the point is, I said, yeah, if the O train fucks up again, I'm beating the shit out of Mayor Watson. And I'm thinking about, I wonder wonder if white people can handle, like, you know, I'm like, you know, I can see a white person being like, oh, why you want to beat up our mayor? And I'm just saying, because it sounds funny if I see it that way. Because if I just say that if O-Train fucks up again, I'm not going to vote for Mayor Watson. That's not funny. I got to say, I'm beating the shit up Mayor Watson. Anyway, yeah. Last reason, no, what is it? And just, yeah, okay. The last two reasons why I picked the title of today's track and the verse, Died in a Gunfight, is because May 25th, by the way, is the death anniversary of, will be the death anniversary of George Floyd. And there's something that his death, May 25th, 2020, something about his death, I mean, besides the cruelty and the trauma and all that shit, but the one thing that I learned about his death, one, we're all going to die. I'm going to die. Mortality, the concept of mortality was very clear to me that, yeah, you're going to die. We just don't know how it's going to happen. Two, I talked about, and this is part of the reasons why I'm tired of being Jackie Robinson. I used to go to work and leave my blackness at the door. Pretend I wasn't a black person. Which is why I put up with all kinds of bullshit at work. I would just, yeah, that's a very funny black joke. Yeah. How many niggers can you, you know what I mean? For me, it was my responsibility to not allow the racism that went on at work to get under my skin. And it hit me that, yeah, no, when it came to my 9-to-5, that's when my pro-blackness stopped. That's when I put a pause on my blackness. And watching George Floyd die, it hit me. It's like, yo, whether you fight or don't fight, you're going to die. Whether you're docile or aggressive, you're going to die. Whether you're a troublemaker or a conformist, all of us are fucking dying. The only option is, how do you fight? What's your last act going to be? One of my, I heard this word, he goes, yo, as for me, I'd rather die with my combat boots on. My equivalent to, I want to die with my combat boots on is, I'm dying in a gunfight. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not looking for a gunfight to die in. I'm just saying, if I remember something, I'm remembered for dying fighting. You know? Sorry, I'm trying to picture. I can picture myself in those last moments and fighting the urge to not beg for my life. Please, oh, please, don't kill me. Please. And that shit's caught on YouTube. Oh, motherfucker. And I got an episode caught. Yeah, so much for dying in a gunfight, tough guy. Anyway, yeah. And the last reason why oh, man, 6 minutes. I didn't think I'd go over. Anyway, holy shit. But I did say this was going to be my thought. Intensive, yeah. So last reason why I chose this title is because I just wanted to recite it. I remember listening to it and how's it going? He says, this is the important part. But I looked up and all I saw was blue lights. If I die tonight, I'm dying in a gunfight. Yeah, the way he said it, I remember first time hearing that verse, I'm saying, Tupac is real. Now, I'm not going to question Tupac's realness. But I do know, I get the feeling that he was also as emotional as I was, and some of the stuff he may have said might have been, like, exaggeration. No, he fought with cops. Don't get me wrong. I knew he fought with cops. But saying shit like, you know, my fofo, make sure all your kids don't grow. I mean, really, Pac, you gonna kill some kids? I mean, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. Man's not here to defend himself. But my point is, I know what it's like to get emotional and let the words fly. Especially if you're not the fighting type, right? Then you let the words fly. You say shit that make people go, whoa, what the fuck? This motherfucker's crazy. You know what I mean? Well, the general population, but the thoroughbred types, they'll be like, yeah, you're full of shit. I know what you're doing. You're hiding behind words. Holy shit, I should notice the time. All right, okay, and that's it. Did I explain myself? Yes, check. Okay, that's it. All right, okay. Yo, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Holler at me. Until further notice, or until Elon Musk fucks up Twitter, you can DM me on Twitter via at bblizak or at shutuppodcast. Website address is shutuppodcast.com. Go there to find the show notes for this episode. And yes, and in specifically these show notes, there will be a link to Janae Monáe's titties. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Subscribe to this podcast using your RSS feed on our website, or go to Google or Apple Podcasts. Yo, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. La paix.